Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Anne Rung, Administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy within OMB. So, Anne, you can't do any of the work that you're pursuing, any of the priorities that you're pursuing, without really having a technically competent workforce. And that's really, what are some of the challenges of building a technologically competent workforce? And how are you supporting the federal acquisition workforce community within?
It always comes back to the people, right? It's interesting. A colleague of mine who is a procurement executive in one of the federal agencies has worked at the state level and at the local level running fairly significant sized acquisition operations. And he commented to me that he was incredibly impressed by the level of professionalism in the federal acquisition workforce. And there's very rigorous training. And so I am pleased to say that we have a very technically competent acquisition workforce. Where I'm focusing my energy is how to take that great skill set and you know, smarts of those people and help them to be more innovative so we can be better at buying IT and capitalizing on technology. And as I alluded to earlier, we have a culture around that's very rules-based, right, and check the box. And so how do you help that workforce become more agile and flexible and in their world take risks, even though I'd argue that none of these approaches are risky that we advocate? There's a couple things we're doing. I mean, one, we have to make sure that we're helping them in creating more specialized teams, right? Our acquisition workforce are by the most part trained to be generalist. And so when you think about the space of IT, it does require a deeper expertise. And so we launched something last year called the Digital IT Acquisition Program, DITAP. And it is essentially the acquisition equivalent of the U.S. Digital Services, except that we recruited our individuals from the agencies who are career contracting officers. And that was intentional because we want this to last and we want this to be embedded within the agencies and last for years to come beyond any single administration. And so we used a training program that we developed in partnership with industry. And we put out a challenge through challenge.gov and said to the public, help us think about how better to train the workforce in digital IT acquisitions. We selected a company based on narrowing down the list to three, having them come in and do a demo to us. So run a classroom for us, show us how you would train the workforce. What was kind of interesting about it is we had the United States Digital Services in the room receiving the training to help us evaluate whether this was the right approach. We selected a company. And the training in and of itself is agile in the sense that we didn't develop all of it up front, but rather it's being rolled out as we understand kind of the levels of the individuals and how they're progressing. And so that in and of itself is an agile approach. And we're using not just classroom training, but collaboration and virtual demos and online as much as possible and really trying to take advantage of the latest training techniques. That class graduates in the next few weeks. We'll be starting our second class shortly thereafter. And so one of the goals that I set for our team was to have 60 newly trained certified digital IT acquisition specialists out back in their agencies, really touching acquisitions to make a difference. And so that's just one example of how we're trying to help the workforce think differently and try new approaches in the acquisition space.
Yeah, and the other thing is continuing on with driving innovation in acquisition, there were other ways you're doing it, other tools you're providing, like the TechFAR handbook and you mentioned the digital services playbook. How do they factor into your efforts? And perhaps you could highlight some of the key successes in this area.
Sure. So they really all tie together. So we think about we need to provide our workforce with tools. And that's where the TechFAR comes into place in the playbook. So the playbook is quite simply a series of plays, digital plays that one could play in the acquisition workspace to better procure digital IT services. The TechFAR is taking those plays and explaining how you can use existing authorities in the federal acquisition regulations to do those plays. So you have the authority. We're just pointing out to you in a very simple way how you can use those. So a great example is We set it up in a Q&A format. And so one of the questions is, federal acquisition regulations say that I've got to define all my requirements up front. In other words, be very specific about what it is I want to buy. The agile approach is you write a much shorter statement of objectives and think about the outcomes. How do I reconcile that? And so we answer that and we say, under this section of the federal acquisition regulations, it says you can do this and therefore you can do a statement of objectives. And so we really walk people through and give them the tools that they need. And at every conference that I've been to lately, there's always a team talking about the tech FAR and it's being incorporated into the digital IT training. The second piece is the people piece where I talked about the digital IT training. So the tech FAR is part of their curriculum and part of their materials. And the third piece for us is how do you create the space for those people to innovate and test and experiment? And that really comes through our latest initiative called the Acquisition Innovation Labs. And just as it sounds, it's really a space for people to test and implement new approaches to the IT space, in particular IT acquisition space. And so, you know, creating a safe space for people to apply, you know, emerging best practices in industry and apply them broadly across the agency with the support of the leadership. That's the idea behind the Acquisition Innovation
Lab. I'd like to continue on that.
Yeah.
So how do they operate? I know they're sort of new. You're piloting them, I understand, or they've been around or...
So we just issued a policy saying that we expect the 24 CFO agencies to stand up these Acquisition Innovation Labs. And we describe them as a pathway to test and implement more innovative approaches to acquisitions with a really strong emphasis on IT acquisitions. And the pilot piece of it was we said we're looking for 6 or 7 forward-thinking agencies that are setting up these labs to participate in a pilot with the United States Digital Services and the 18F team, a group of technologists within GSA, allow them to coach these new integrated teams within the Acquisition Innovation Labs. And we received funding for it, so it doesn't cost the agencies anything. So that's the pilot piece of it. We recognize that you don't want to sort of mandate innovation, right? Mm-hmm. It seems a little bit counterintuitive. And so what we did was we set up principles. So we didn't want to be overly prescriptive to the agencies and kind of how they think about these labs. So our principles were around, you know, make IT a focus area. Start small and grow over time. Encourage but not mandate use of the labs by your employees. Think about and obtain vendor input. That's a really important part of being agile. And then, you know, recognize the contributions by the members of the workforce when they've done well. And so we gave them a flexibility around those principles. So think about that as you set up these labs. We asked agencies to identify an Acquisition Innovation Advocate, AIA, and then establish this lab. And then we would pull together a council of these advocates to share best practices. We've also asked agencies to come back to us this summer when we run a process called FedStat, where we meet with all the agency leaderships and go over some statistics around how they're performing around management areas. And we ask them to come back with some success stories and how they're doing. We also asked agencies to share their information in a new online portal called the Acquisition Gateway, which is supporting category management. So it contains critical contracting information and best practices around each of the categories, but we also have a new innovation space. And we want people to populate that with their success stories and their tools and their best statements of objectives so we can share and collaborate.
Have you received any lessons learned or any sort of insights? Or?
Yeah, I think, you know, the idea for this came off of some existing labs that are already underway in the agency. So Health and Human Services launched something several years ago called the Buyers Club. And it was run by their the entire initiative of sort of being more experimental was run by their former chief technology officer. And he, as part of this, set up this buyer's club, which was really one person, Mark Nager, who is going around and sort of helping his agency and advising and consulting on how to approach things in a more agile way. And so we saw some great successes there where One example is he took a number of legacy systems and consolidated them down into one web content management system. But instead of doing it in the traditional way of putting out a lengthy request for proposals and contractors submit a lengthy, you know, response back and it goes through a lengthy process. instead, he and his team just put out a very short statement of objectives. This is what I hope to achieve. The companies were asked to just submit a very short concept paper in response, very short. And then they narrowed it down to the top performers, the finalists, and they gave them each some money. And he worked with his CFO in partnership with this and said, develop a prototype and come in and demo that for us. And that's how they made their final selection. And in the end, it was a very fast process. It was a painless process. Industry liked that approach because it was much more streamlined and easy for them and made perfect sense. And that's the kind of thing that to the private sector may not sound that innovative or different, but for us, it's a radical change. And we want that to be broadened and replicated across government, just thinking differently.
That's an interesting segue into your efforts and one of the priorities you have, which is a more frequent and constructive engagement in industry. What are you doing in this area? How are you building a stronger vendor relationship? What are some of the initiatives that you're doing with acquisition 360 and stuff like that?
A lot of this great work began with my predecessors. Okay. Dan Gordon released, former administrator under President Obama, released something called Mythbusters that industry still talks about. And it was simply telling the acquisition workforce what you can do with in regards to communications with industry. And I think there's a lot of fear in talking to industry. And the reality is you can have lots of communication and you should. So what we've tried to do is build on that good work. And so one of the things we did was partner with a group called ACT IAC on a new industry government series called Lifting the Curtain. And it was simply trying to better understand each other's perspectives on key acquisition issues and areas. And so we held one on, you know, why companies make bid or no bid decisions, which I attended. We had one on market research versus market intelligence. We had one this week on technical evaluation committees. And it's enlightening the things that you hear and learn. And it to me, it always comes back to just very simple things like the need to better communicate. In addition to that, we wanted to create more formal channels for industry to give us input. And so we created the first ever transaction-based survey tool for industry to give us feedback on specific IT acquisitions and their viewpoint on that acquisition pre-award. And so we developed a standard set of questions. And we said to the agencies, we need you to issue this on a certain set of IT procurements, which represented in total 5% of all our IT procurements. And what made it a 360 is that we asked program offices to provide feedback on that acquisition on how the contracting office did, and vice versa, the contracting office to tell us how the program office did on the same IT acquisition. So we have a full 360 view with industry, contracting office, and program management offices providing feedback. We received over 1,100 industry responses from round one of that survey. We're expanding it this year to ask agencies to issue the survey on all IT acquisitions over 500,000. That's going to represent 40% of all of our IT buys acquisition. We should get about 6,000 responses if we had the same rate we did on round one. And the data is designed to tell us where we may be a little bit more challenged, and our office needs to think about ways we can help lift up and improve in that area, and also where we may be doing well. The preliminary set of information, as well as what we've learned from talking to industry through our own research and other means, tells us that there are some areas where we could improve. One area in particular was around debriefings. And so, you know, that's a really important area when you think about wanting to keep companies in the marketplace and also wanting to bring new companies into the marketplace and also helping companies to grow and get better. It always comes down to the debriefing. Companies want to know what they can do to improve. How can they be better next time around? And the only way we're going to help companies to compete better is by talking to them and doing really good debriefings. And some agencies do this very well already. And so our goal is to try to help them share the best practices across government.
You know, when you think of debriefings after the post-award, how do you do that? Or you can almost see it sort of contracting in the reverse when you have so many protests. Is there a connection between the lack of debriefings and the rise in protests?
It's a great question and one that I would love to know the answer to, and it requires digging through the data a little bit. But it would intuitively feel like that not talking to industry and not having debriefings might lead to a greater number of protests. But I have no data to support that. However, I do know that industry, and I think government in the end, finds it incredibly beneficial when you can talk to a company and help them to become better by helping them understand why it is that they may not have been selected. That only helps everyone. And I personally like personal debriefings. Now, I know as opposed to over the phone or certainly in writing, but I understand also that contracting officers have lots of companies, and sometimes with large acquisitions, it just may not be possible. But, you know, as I said, some agencies are doing this in really neat ways and have really interesting trainings around it using avatars and YouTube videos. And we've tried to highlight that through the Chief Acquisition Officers Council, where we spent one of the sessions talking about what are some of the best practices around debriefings.
What is being done to strengthen government industry relationships in procurement? We will ask Anne Rung, Administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy within OMB, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.